Our message this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that first through the fifth verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your word, the truth of your word. That it is as true today as when the Apostle Paul penned it, or when the prophets of the Old Testament penned it, God, and it is true, and it still speaks to us. It still encourages us. It still challenges us, God, and I pray this morning that your word challenge us, God, that your word speak to us, God, that your word call us to live and be in right standing with you, God. That our relationship with you would be restored, it would be right, it would be well. And God, that we would compare our life to the scriptures, and God, that, and if it's found in God, what in God, that we would come to you and get and do business with you and let your spirit do business with us, God. And I pray that it's not my words, but your words, God, and that any distraction, anything that would pull us away, that would pull our mind away, God, any distractions of the world, any of the news or things that are going on in our lives, God, that they would be put aside for now, God, and that we would just hear your word and hear what you speak to us to this day and this time. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in that first verse. I'm going to read down to the fifth verse. It says, "Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or in any other human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, and yet I am not by this acquitted, but by the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." I've entitled the message "Withholding Judgment from God's Servants." From God's servant. Or you could actually say servants would be an apt title as well. So if you were to buy a new car, it would be not uncommon to look at Motor Trend or Consumer Reports. And these would judge the vehicles based on various criteria. Advancement in design, efficiency, engineering excellence, performance of intended function, safety and value. The idea is that each feature goes through comprehensive testing processes that include driving on various road conditions, analyzing their interior quality, measuring performance metrics like acceleration, braking, handling, and then is assigned a score based on their evaluation. And all of this sounds good, but the score is based on an initial testing of how the vehicle performs in the short term, but not on a long-term period. What they cannot tell you is how the vehicle will perform in 5 to 7 years. So what they do is they will perform over a 90-day period, which is great. I hope if when I spend, 30 to 40,000 vehicles. Yes, I know some vehicles are cheaper, and I know some vehicles cost much more. But if I'm going to spend anywhere from $20,000 to $100,000 on a vehicle, I hope that in the 90-day period that the vehicle performs well and does what it's supposed to do. But a lot of times when you're looking at these reports, the vehicles that get the highest ratings are the ones that have all the extra accoutrements, that it has the heated seats, it has these extra things in there. Maybe it rides smoother, but what it doesn't tell you is, will the engine hold up for 10 years? Will the transmission hold up for 10 years? Is it going to burn oil? It's not going to tell you these things. It's going to tell you some of these ancillary things. And so vehicles sometimes that get good ratings have issues in 5 to 7 years, and vehicles sometimes that have maybe not good ratings because they don't have all the extra bells and whistles, sometimes they do really well long term because the motors and the internal things last up long term. So one of the things, and this is a bit like what's happening with Paul here, is that the Corinthians have been judging Paul and others based on external things that they're seeing. The other teachers have come in and they are attracted to the charismatic nature of some of the teaching that they've got from some of these other teachers. And they're saying that Paul and some of these other teachers that have come before are not as charismatic. They're not, basically what they're saying, Paul, your teaching style is not as charismatic. It is not as good. We don't like it as much as these new teachers. So the Corinthians' theological misunderstanding of the gospel and the role of teachers has not been favoring one teacher over another. What we're really finding out is the Corinthians are decidedly anti-Paul. So now what we find out is that the Corinthians are actually rejecting Paul's teaching and his authority. And so we've been building up for the past three chapters, and we're finding out that the Corinthians are having this struggle where they are very much, they are very interested in philosophy, and they're rejecting the preaching of the cross and this teaching that it is only through a crucified Messiah that they can have a relationship with God. And they rejected this for a more philosophical, for a better teaching. And they're saying that, hey, some teachers are better than others. And they're comparing that, hey, my teacher's better than your teacher. And I have a different philosophy over this philosophy. And now they're rejecting Paul, who a lot of these people, they came to Jesus through Paul's ministry and Paul's teaching. And this is where we find that now Paul kind of has to go on the defensive a bit. He has to defend his ministry. So here, and so one of the things we find is a bit awkward is for the pastor to say is that ministers are servants of God. And so this is what Paul's telling him, is that ministers are servants of God. And so what he's going to tell them is eventually that he'll tell them here, he says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mystery of God. So yes, he says, he's taking a posture of humility. He says, yes, we're servants, and we serve the church. And as we serve the church, he says, but ultimately, as servants of the church, we are servants of Christ. We are not your servants, Corinthians. Yes, we serve you. Our ministry is to you, but ultimately, our ministry is to Christ. And so I think sometimes when we do ministry, that we think we're doing ministry to these other people. We think we're ministering to the homeless. And we even use this, we're going to go minister to the homeless because it sounds good. Okay. No, we're doing ministry to Christ. Okay. But it sounds good to say we're doing ministry to the homeless, or we're doing ministry to this people, or we're doing ministry to that people. It sounds really good, but we should re really be doing ministry to Christ. Because that's what he says. He says, let man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ. He says, we're servants of Christ. You need to understand this, that we are servants of Christ, Corinthians. Then he goes on with it. We are servants of Christ, and we are stewards of the mysteries of God. So what is the mysteries of God? So in the Greco-Roman world, they had this they were really fascinated with mysteries, and they even had mystery cults. And we won't go a whole lot into that, but and so one of the things is we wonder how much do the Corinthians understand when Paul's talking about the mysteries. We think they actually understand quite well what he's saying is that when he says that the mysteries of God, the mysteries of God are these are the things, the mysteries of God are the things of God that were previously hidden to the Corinthians that are now being revealed in Christ to those who have the Spirit of God. Okay. And you're like, okay, what is that? What that means is it is the gospel, okay? The mysteries of God is the gospel being revealed to the Holy Spirit to Christians. This is the mystery of God. The Corinthians didn't know the gospel before it came. So this is why Paul's message of this crucified Messiah, which is the gospel, is so important. And he's saying, we've been entrusted with this message. We've been entrusted with this gospel of this crucified Messiah. It's being revealed to you by the Spirit of God. You couldn't understand this unless you had the Spirit of God within you to help you understand this. Because the pagans around you, the rest of the city of Corinth, Corinthian believers, they don't understand this. They don't understand how a crucified Messiah who died and was buried and came back can deliver you from your sins. They just don't understand that. He said, but we are the stewards of this mystery. Then he goes on, verse 2, and he says, in this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that they must be found trustworthy. So not only has he said, we are stewards of this, but we are trustworthy stewards. So he's going on saying that we are trustworthy stewards. We are just not God's servants, but we are good servants, is what he's saying. They are not going about doing this haphazardly. They are not going about it doing things illicitly. They are not stealing money. They are not ministers who are stealing the offering. They are not ministers who are sleeping with women in the congregation. They are not ministers who are causing strife out in the community. That they are trustworthy men. And so I think this is an important distinction because Paul is actually creating a distinction because he's saying that these people that you were looking up to, what he's not saying yet is that they have caused trouble, they have caused dissension, they have caused you to depart from the gospel, they have caused you to look away from the truth of the gospel. And here we are imploring you to look forward, look to this gospel. So ministers are servants of God. They serve God, and he's telling them this. He goes on. And what I think Paul is telling them here, and I think this is something for us, is Paul's telling them kind of our point too, is be careful of undue judgment. Verse 3, he says, but to me it's a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. And what Paul is actually saying there is be careful of undue judgment. Okay, now this is a nuanced argument by Paul. Okay, because Paul is not saying don't ever pronounce judgment. Because later on in the book of Corinthians, Paul's going to tell the Corinthians that you have the right to judge the things inside of the church. So if things aren't right inside of the church, judge them. But he just said in verse 2 that it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. He's saying, I'm a trustworthy steward. But what he's going to eventually tell them is that God is the one who's going to find him trustworthy. And so he's making this nuanced argument that that hey, you will eventually judge things in the church. But he's the things that they're judging Paul on are they're not moral issues, okay? They're not judging Paul on moral issues. They're not finding Paul guilty of theft of money. They're not finding Paul guilty of some type of moral turpitude. They're not finding that Paul slept with a woman in the church, or that he had abused another member, or he had did something morally wrong. They don't like Paul's teaching. They don't like his teaching of the cross. Other people came and they found their teaching more palatable. They found it more charismatic. They found it more to their liking. And this is now their issue, that they don't like Paul. They think Paul's teaching is elementary. Someone else came along and they said, Paul, he's a better teacher than you. We no longer really want to follow you because he is more spiritual than you, Paul. So be careful, do not judge God's servants over issues that have no immediate issue or value. Stop critiquing the men of the people of God over things that have no immediate bearing. So if someone comes along and they're a better teacher, they're a better preacher, God bless them. That doesn't make that doesn't delegitimize that other individual. Okay? Someone comes along and they're a PhD or they're a trained teacher. Of course they're going to be a better teacher. Of course they're going to have more information. Or maybe someone's just a gifted preacher and they can preach better than this person. Yes, that's going to happen. This isn't necessarily the case here. These other people, they are being carried away. They're actually being carried away in that they just don't like Paul's message, but they don't like Paul's message because they think Paul's message is it's too simplistic. But the issue is that it seems spiritual. Sometimes we think we become spiritual because we've matured, and we start forgetting that these really basic truths of Scripture are important truths. The other thing is be careful of your own self-judgment, good or bad. Look what Paul says. He goes on, he says, it's the very thing that I may be examined by you, by any human court. He says, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself. Okay. He says, I'm not aware of anything that I have done. I'm not aware of any sin or anything that I have done that is inconsistent with the scriptures, in essence, is what he's saying. There's nothing that I'm aware of that you could find fault of, okay? But the one who examines me is the Lord. So he's saying that even in my own judgment, that I find no fault in myself, it doesn't matter because the one who judges me is the Lord. So it's not you who can judge me. It's not I who can judge me, but the Lord who judges me. And so a lot of times we get riled up about others judging us for whatever reason, or we start judging ourselves. So, and I'm not talking about, Paul is not talking about here about thoughtful self-examination. That's not what he's talking about here. Again, thoughtful self-examination would be looking at yourself saying, you know what, I've made some bad choices, and I need to re-examine my life. So I need to re-examine how I'm going about things. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Again, Paul's having a very nuanced argument here, and he's saying that Paul has been accused of certain things here. And he's saying the things that I've been accused of, I am not guilty of. But and we don't know what all he's been accused of because he doesn't necessarily lay that out. But what he's saying is what you've accused of, I'm not guilty of. But what it doesn't matter is because I don't think it's true. You've not proved it, and I don't see it as true. But it doesn't matter because the one who judges me is God. And so, but the things that they're judging him on are things that are not necessarily scriptural. So be careful of undue judgment, because the Corinthians are, again, they're very enamored with philosophy. They're very enamored with things that really have no scriptural basis. This brings us to our last point. God will judge rightly. So a lot of times, even we get upset when people, we think that sometimes they're getting away with something. Oh, but God will judge rightly. Verse 5, therefore, do not going on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things both hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and each man's praise will come according to him from God. Now, interesting what Paul's saying here. Paul's telling him, do not go on. He's saying, hey, stop passing judgment before the time. He's saying, you're judging me, and it is not time for judgment. And what he's saying, it's time to do ministry. Remember, the Corinthians are meant to be the alternative to the city of Corinth around them, but they are not being that alternative. They are acting like the city, they are acting like everyone around them, so they therefore cannot be the alternative. Since they can't be the alternative, he's telling them the time is to be the Corinthians, it is time to be the alternative. Okay? Stop judging one another. Stop comparing one another. Stop comparing us and doing these things. But wait until the Lord comes. Why? Why, he says, because the Lord will bring to light both the hidden things in the darkness and disclose the motives of men. What he's telling them is that the people who are showing up that have caused some of this discord are people who don't necessarily have good motives. They desire the praise of men. They desire the attention. You know, some people do things not because they have got the heart of God. They want to see the people of God grow. They want to see people, God grow and minister and do the right things in people. They do it because they want to see their own glorification, or they want to gain another accolade. They want to gain another personal disciple. They don't want to see God touch their life, change their life. And so Paul is saying, hey, just wait. In the end, when the eschaton, you know, the eschaton comes, when Jesus comes back, God will bring these things to light. So God will judge at the right time, and then he will expose our work at that time. He will expose their work at time. Paul said he will expose my work at that time. He will expose your work at that time. And so as we're doing ministry work, and if you're not getting the credit that you think you should get, if you're not getting your credit on the job that you think you should get, just keep doing it. Paul didn't do ministry to Corinth to get the praise from the Corinthians. He did it because God called him to be there. Because he that's what God told him, hey, go here, Paul, and do this. And remember, he's God's servant. He's God's servant, and that's what he's called to do. And he's going to do that. And so it's our job to do what God calls us to do. We can't be concerned about what other people are going to do or say about us if we're doing the things we're supposed to do. Then Paul goes on, he says, God will honor those who faithfully serve him. Last half, he says that each man's praise will come to him from God. God will honor those who faithfully serve him. We can sometimes men will praise us when we do the things we're supposed to. Men and women will praise us. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Paul knows, he says, hey, in the end, God will praise, because he's going to disclose those hidden things. Those things in the darkness, he's going to disclose the motives of people's hearts. And then the praise will come to those whom praise, who it belongs to will get the praise. So God will honor those who faithfully serve him. And so if it doesn't feel like, you're getting the praise that you should, God will give you that praise. So don't quit. So here's our big idea this morning. Do not allow misguided criticism to stop you from serving God. Do not allow misguided criticism to stop you from serving God. I mean, if you want to talk about, describe Paul, the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul probably had a lot of misguided criticism in his ministry. I mean, we think of the Apostle Paul, and he wrote all these books in the New Testament. He wrote over half the New Testament, right? So we think of the great Apostle Paul. He writes over half the New Testament, and he's this prolific letter writer. And he goes to jail, and he's beaten for the sake of the gospel, and he's respected. But when you read, he has problems in his community. The Corinthians are questioning him. The Galatians are, questioning him. He has problems. He falls out with John Mark. He does not have a smooth ministry. His ministry has problems. I mean, the guy gets beaten, and the guy gets shipwrecked. He has problems in his ministry. And so it would have been easy for Paul to pack it up, and when he had misguided criticism, and to say, you know what, I'm going to quit. This isn't worth it. I'm preaching the gospel. I heard from God, but you know what? People are criticizing my ministry. And he even gets into it with Peter. And he is a following out with Peter at one point. He could have threw in the towel and said, this isn't worth it. Peter walked with the Lord, and he saw the transfiguration of the Lord, but he didn't allow misguided criticism to stop him from serving God. So if the great Apostle Paul, who wrote all these letters in the New Testament, had misguided criticism, and it didn't stop him from serving God, it shouldn't stop you from serving God. And I'm not talking about, where people give you criticism, because sometimes there is valid criticism. Okay, if there are things that you're doing, and they're valid critiques, hear them out. But I'm talking about misguided criticism. Okay, I'm talking about you're doing the things, you're hearing God's voice, you're being faithful, you're living the life you're supposed to, and then people are still critiquing you. I'm not talking about, you're living an unfaithful life, and someone's calling out the sin in your life, saying, hey, you're not supposed to be doing that. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about, misguided criticism, is that when they're calling out things, or they're attempting to call out things, but yet you're being faithful. And your life is still lining up with scripture, and you're doing the things that you're supposed to, but yet people are still critiquing you. That is misguided criticism. Don't let that stop you from being faithful to God. But in order to know that you're being faithful, you got to spend time in the Word. You got to know the Word of God. You got to have a prayer life. You got to be connected into a local church. You got to have these things. You got to have these relationships. So here's a question. Have others criticized you? Or let me back up. Have you criticized others? It's easy to fall into that, to be critical of others. Okay. Again, later on, Paul tells the Corinthians, judge the things inside of the church. Okay. And this is not talking about things that are ungodly, okay? When things are ungodly, people are living unholy lives. They're living sinful lives, and doing things, they're living, someone is married and they're having an adulterous relationship. Call those things out, okay? Someone's stealing money. Call those things out. They're living a lifestyle that is contrary to scripture. Call those things out, okay? These are things that we should call out. But I'm talking about, are we criticizing others for things that maybe, they don't teach as good as your favorite TV preacher, or they wear jeans to church, or maybe they don't, they don't do this or that, or sometimes we criticize people for, we start majoring in the minors, okay? Be careful on criticizing others. Make sure that it's lining up with scriptures. Have others criticized you? Have others criticized you? Has that criticism stopped you from doing God's will? Has that criticism stopped you from doing God's will? Don't let that criticism stop you from doing God's will. Again, if it's legit criticism, okay, you're not living up to God's standards. You're doing something you're not supposed to, okay? Let the Holy Spirit do some business with you. That's not what I'm, that's not misguided criticism. I'm talking about, misguided criticism here. Has misguided criticism stopped you from doing God's will? Don't let it stop you. If it stopped you, this is the morning that you say, no, God, I've let misguided criticism stop me from being a faithful servant, doing the things that God has called me to do. God, you've called me to do whatever it is. You know that what God has called you to do. And you know when misguided criticism has discouraged you and kept you from doing the things that God has called you to do. And if that's you, I think this morning I want to encourage you, do not let misguided criticism stop you from being faithful to God's calling over your life. Because even if someone like the Apostle Paul has misguided criticism coming towards him, then how much more us? Even Jesus had misguided criticism. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they came at him with misguided criticism. They didn't understand. So do not let misguided criticism stop you from serving God. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, we may not be servants like Paul. We may not be apostles. We may not be pastors. We may not be ministers. We may not have a fivefold ministry calling on our life, but you've called each and every one of us to do something, some type of ministry, God. Big, small, God. But there, God, there, you've called each and every one of us to something in your kingdom, God. And God, I pray this morning, God, that whatever it is, God, that we get back up on the wall, God, that we just continue to work, God, that we do not allow criticism, we do not allow discouragement, we do not allow others to discourage us and a lot and stop us from keeping us doing the things that you've called us to do, God. God, I pray that we be faithful servants of you, and that we put our trust, that our hope, and that God, that we just continue to work and be faithful, God, that we would just trust in you, God, and for those who have endured criticism and that criticism has weighed on us heavy, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit, God, would just stir something up, God, that you would do business with us, God, that you would help break that criticism, God, that you would help just Bring encouragement to us, God, that you would stir something up in us, God, that you would bring people around us and speak love and just speak truth, God, and that you would just begin to do a work in us, God, that you would allow us and bring us back to a place where we're doing whatever you called us to do, God. So God, let us be found faithful again. Just to be faithful servants. And God, I ask that you just bless us, that you keep us, that you watch over us. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anyone who desires prayer?